ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 एंड वर्स नंबर 27। चैप्टर टाइटल्ड एज़ द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ प्रजापतिस।
रूपं भगवतत्वेत The devotees are always favorably accepted by the Lord.
The Lord shows all mercy not only to the conditioned souls but also to the devotees who are already liberated to their devotional service. The form of the Lord as worshipped in the temples is called Archa Vigraha or Archavatara, the worshipable form, the deity incarnation. This facility is offered to neophyte devotees so that they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of Archa. Through such facilities, the neophyte gradually invokes their original Krishna consciousness. Deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. All neophytes must therefore engage in the worship of the Lord by keeping the Archa Vigraha, Archa Avatara at home or in the temple. Om Avyanati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shadakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamritamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagavate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we were discussing the chapter called the activities of the prachetas, where prachetas are actually being in the tradition is very well respected. In fact, the Lord gives them the benediction that if you want to have peace and harmony among brothers, you need to remember the prachetas. So they are one of the entities whom we are in the vidhi. It's always good to remember them because they were very great devotees of the Lord. And we see as the chapter flows that pleased by their austerities, as we saw, Maitreya is explaining the beginning of the chapter about the glorious sons of Prachina Varghi and how the Lord, pleased by their austerities, appeared in front of them. And verse number 5 actually talks about the beautiful form of the Lord. Suparnaskandham arudho meru shringam imambudha pitavasamani griha grivaha kurvam vitimiradashaha vitimiradashaha. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of a mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the Personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaustubhamani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all darkness of the universe. This was a beautiful form of the Lord that appeared to the Prachetas. And then the Prachetas are actually offering their prayers to the Supreme Lord. And then what amazes me is how actually, what is Prabhupada's mood when he sees these verses. Now the Prachetas are witnessing the Lord and they are seeing the unique form of the Lord, his Ashtabhuja form. It's not even a Chaturbhuja form, because another verse says he had eight arms. So it was an eight-armed form of the Lord that the Prachetas are witnessing. That is coming in verse number... which verse it says Ashtabhuja. In the verse number 7, he says, Pinaya Ashtabhuja. Pinaya Ashtabhuja. Ayana Ashtabhuja. So his eight-armed form of the Lord. Just when the Prachetas are actually witnessing the eight-armed form of the Lord, we can see the mood of Srila Prabhupada racing towards the form of Krishna. Because he starts with the battle of Kurukshetra, when the Lord appears in his original form. So just as the Prachetas are witnessing the Supreme Lord in their Ishtadevata form, as the Lord appeared in front of them, now Prabhupada is witnessing Sri Krishna and in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he actually mentions verse number 4.8, which is what is the verse? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatushritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge. Prabhupada is remembering Krishna and Krishna's teachings, and then so I'm amazed by how Prabhupada takes his consciousness back to Krishna all the time. Like prema janachuita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva kutayeshu vilokayanti yamshama sundaram chajinsya gunasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Prabhupada's mood is always witnessing Krishna in his eyes. So that's why he takes his consciousness back to Krishna as soon as the Prachetas are mentioning that they are witnessing the Lord. In fact, this shloka, Prabhupada actually talks about many things in this verse. But he starts with the impartial nature of the Lord. Why? Because Prachetas are also saying, Prachetas actually, despite their 10,000 years of tapasya, they are actually downgrading themselves and saying, oh, you have come before us, what to talk of those devotees who are worshipping you, whom you are favorably disposed. They are actually putting themselves down. And in the same way, Prabhupada brings out this mood of impartial nature of the Lord. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that there are so many deeper meanings in this shloka. Because when the acharyas speak, it is actually difficult to speak realizations to be put in a language, because language has only 52 syllables. To speak some realizations, it's really difficult to unless someone experiences it, as we always know. So yet the Vedas and scriptures attempt to explain these realizations. So Prabhupada talks about the impartial nature of the Lord, how the Supreme Lord was impartial in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But we see in the modern world today, this equality, making sure everyone is equal, is completely misunderstood and misconstrued. So for example, it's something like this. People barge about equality races. So if you have 20 students in a class, all 20 students should get first class, whatever their performance is. Why? They make equal. Let's be equal. So because of this thinking, there are no exams anymore in this school. Exams anymore. So there are no, after I came here, there are no exams in school. In fact, when I studied, there were exams after every grade and then you move on to the next grade. But nowadays there are no exams. Why? Because there is a false notion of equality that is being misunderstood. In fact, what equality Krishna speaks is yathama prapadyante tams tataiva bhajami. So however one approaches me, accordingly I will reward. So this is the equality of Krishna. But how is this considered equality? In Krishna's terms, being equal to the inequality is called equality. So let me put it in this way. So he is not reciprocating the same with everyone. He is reciprocating based on the reciprocation of the jiva. So this is equality. I will reciprocate with the degree that the jiva is reciprocating. This is being equal. Not that I will reciprocate equally with everyone. So this is the real meaning of equality. We have to understand. Because if a demon can get liberated, if a demon can get liberated to a constitutional position by demonian propensities, then the devotion of a devotee becomes very cheap. Is it not? Then everybody would want to become a demon. Because what is the value of devotion? But you have to understand that the Lord is Advaita, because there is no difference between His killing and His loving. There is no difference. He is absolute. Hence, in the purport, Prabhupada says He is impartial. Because His killing also was actually love. In fact, if we remember, there were a lot of instances in the Mahabharata war which seems to be very impartial, partial in nature. Let us take the example of Dronacharya. Now, Dronacharya was a Brahmana, was a guru of the Pandavas. And yet, we will see that in a way, Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to lie. What does he say? Ashwatthama Kunjara. Ashwatthama Hatha Kunjara. And then he adds Kunjara for him. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Ashwatthama Hatha Kunjara. You see like that. So, Krishna says, now you go and tell this to Dronacharya. Apparently, it seems that Krishna is trying to cheat and he is trying to be partial to the Pandavas. But what we do not understand that what is apparent is not the truth. Because what one perceives is they are seeing this old man, Dronacharya, a Brahmana who is fighting, who is very righteous, who is actually being very faithful to the owner, whom he is working for, Duryodhana. He is working for Duryodhana, he is a salaried employee. But what Krishna sees is not Dronacharya, but he sees that Jiva who has come and now is an old person in an old body called Dronacharya. Krishna is saying, look at this Brahmana. He is supposed to be preaching or teaching in a Gurukula. He is here and he has taken a vow to kill 10,000 soldiers every day. And Krishna is saying, why is he committing such sinful activities? So every one person he kills, he is going to have that many lifetimes of suffering. So this old man is going to suffer for thousands of lifetimes. So I have to remove this body of his and give him a new body. Enough of his misdirection. So let me remove this body now and let this Jiva get a new body. Let Drona be finished and let him get another body. Let him become another Drona. Another Drona in the womb of another mother, so that he can continue his, because he was a pious soul. Dronacharya was a pious soul. He was a good Brahman. So Krishna is seeing beyond Dronacharya, and this is the anukampa of the Lord. What we see as killing of Dronacharya is nothing but an immense mercy of the Lord on that Jiva, so that to stop his wrath of killing 10,000 soldiers every day, so that he can reach better platform. So this is called equality of Krishna, so that he can save Dronacharya from accumulating more sins. So, Prabhupada actually brings back to the point saying that this form of Krishna is like a discount offer, because Krishna is not even seeing all this. He is actually liberating every one of them. Why? Because when Krishna comes, he is actually overruling this rule that your karma should act. Because you have performed a bad karma, you will have to face the result of karma. But when Krishna comes, because he is all auspicious God, he breaks the rule and he says, whoever witnesses me will get back to their constitutional position. And that's what Prabhupada writes in the verses. Why? Because Krishna is Swaraj. Janma yasya yatonvayaditaratas chartheshva bhikna Swaraj. So he's Swaraj. Tene brahma hridayaditavaye mohyantiyat surayah. So Swaraj means he's independent. He can do whatever he wants to because there is no rule that binds him. But whatever he does is auspicious and whatever he does is actually dharma. And that we have to understand. But it's very difficult for Mandela to understand the dharma of Krishna and the activities of Krishna. But Prabhupada elaborates that because Krishna was present, he was liberating everyone in that Kurukshetra war. And then he actually, and why? Because Krishna is all auspicious. And then Prachetas, the next part of the verse, Prachetas are reciting the benefit of such audience to the Lord. When one witnesses the audience, when one gets the darshan of the Lord, what is the benefit? They say, Ashesha Klesha Samshaya. Ashesha means unlimited. Kshaya, you know, Kshaya, Kshaya, Kulakshaya Pranashanti, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Kshaya means destruction. Sanshayam, complete destruction. What is destroyed? Klesha. One who destroys all klesha. As soon as one witnesses the Lord, all miseries are ended at once. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Harare Paramatmane Pranata Klesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Govindaya Namo Namaha. So this Govinda or Krishna is Pranata Klesha Nashaya. He can destroy any miseries that we have accumulated. But when I was meditating on this, we are so fallen that we cannot do tapasya for 10,000 years. We cannot even witness the Lord so easily as Tvacheta is witnessing at this point in time, or even Dhruva Maharaj will witness in 6 months, because it's so difficult to even sit for 2 hours and chant 16 drums to attentively put the mind and focus on Krishna, whereas these devotees focused on Krishna for 10,000 years. So it's far off for me to understand it actually. So when I was reading Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami actually goes further and says, what to talk of Krishna's audience? Actually, performance of bhakti itself will destroy Klesha. When we see the six characteristics of bhakti, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, he clearly explains that there are six characteristics of devotional service. That if somebody performs devotional service to Krishna, naturally, Kleshagni is one of them. The first thing that happens is Kleshagni, and the next one that happens is Shubhada, that is auspiciousness, enters into our life. Kleshagni means it burns away the miseries completely by the performance of bhakti to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's bhakti and Krishna are not different. They are Advaita. They are absolute. Rupa Goswami explains how one gets this misery. If we study Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada, how one gets this misery in the first place. Because if you see Kleshagni, to get this Klesha, there is this vicious cycle. Where does Klesha starts from? Where does our misery begin from? What is the root cause of our miseries? Avidya. And Prabhupada actually mentions in the purport, if you see the purport, Prabhupada begins the purport saying, we, the conditioned souls, are always covered by ignorance. Avidya. So, the root cause of our miseries is avidya or ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the fact that we are servants of Krishna. We are dasa. We are jivere swarupa hoye Krishna ra nitya das. So this ignorance leads to what? It leads to material desires. Because now I don't have the consciousness that I am Krishna's servant. Naturally, what will come and sit in my mind? Material desires. I want to enjoy matter because I am the Lord of what I serve. So then there is a vicious cycle. Then we have material desires as the bijam, as the seed of my klesha, and then bijam leads to papam. Bijam, kutam, and papam. And the seed fructifies and I have papam. I start committing sins. And then that sins leads to prarabdha, or aprarabdha and prarabdha. So I start accumulating sins, aprarabdha karma in my back, and then it leads to kutam again. That is, proclivity to sin will increase, and there is a vicious cycle, and the material desires carry on with this. So then we are going around in circles around and accumulating klesha in this material world. But the performance of bhakti, as soon as one starts performing bhakti, we will start kleshagni. We'll see kleshagni happening in our lives. So Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, as long as one is ignorant about his identity, he is sure to act wrongly and thereby become entangled in material contamination. And one more nice thing that is very observant in the shloka is, Prachetas proclaim themselves to be common man or conditioned soul. So this is a true trait of a devotee. A true trait of a devotee is, despite his advancement, these are devotees who have performed 10,000 years of austerity and they are actually witnessing the Lord. Even when they are witnessing the Lord, they are saying, we are common men, my dear Lord, that if you are referring to devotees, we are common men. What a wonderful consciousness this is. Thus they are teaching us how a devotee should have achar or sadachar. This is the sadachar of a devotee, that he always thinks, that he reminds himself that I am a conditioned soul, I am stuck in this material atmosphere, and I am stuck in this bodily carnage of this flesh. So this is always remembering that his consciousness never gets puffed up. Why? Because Krishna never tolerates pride in his devotees. So this is one example of how Prachetas are teaching us how to become humble, how to be always humble. And why? When one becomes humble, this humility attracts the mercy of the Lord, the causeless mercy of the Lord. So, such humility is very important to attract the causeless mercy. So, now when we go to the last section of the verse, Prabhupada mentions about the Archa Vigraha. Why? Because if we see, Prachetas performed tapasya for 10,000 years, who at their very initial stages believe, such difficult austerities are very difficult to perform for us in Kali Yuga, is it not? Hence, Srila Prabhupada mentions another Anukulpa, because Srila Prabhupada now wants to take us from what Prachetas are witnessing and what Prabhupada witnessed about Krishna in Mahabharata. And now he says, what to talk of conditioned souls like us? How can we witness Krishna? So Prabhupada takes us to say, don't worry, there is another Anukampa coming. What is that? The Lord comes in the form of Archa Vigraha. So beautifully Prabhupada is laying out the explanation of this verse. So how he is actually peeling out the verses for us. So he knows that it is very difficult in Kali Yuga for anyone to even focus for 2 hours attentively. So he mentions the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. Although in Kali Yuga it is Hare Rama Eva Kevalam is the remedy, but the jivas struggle for a mental endeavor because of the disturbing circumstances around us. Hence Acharya gives us this Archa Vigraha form to focus our minds on Radha Vallabha. So this facility is being created by Srila Prabhupada around us to come to the platform of witnessing Krishna all the time. But Prabhupada also mentions that deity worship for Archa Vigraha form is for neophyte devotees. How do we understand that? How do we understand that deity worship is for neophyte devotees? Because they can physically perceive it through their eyes. Because initially what we think is whatever we perceive by our senses, only that is a fact. So for such people, initially when they enter, they get, because for them to take holy name directly is very difficult. So for them, it is Kanishtha Adhikaris. Prabhupada is actually mentioning Kanishtha Adhikaris who think that the Lord is the Archa Vigraha. But as they progress, they understand that the Lord exists everywhere, and especially the importance of having a relationship with devotees. When they progress from Kanishtha platform to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, so they start developing loving relationships, and that is what Prachetas epitomizes, who are actually loving brothers between themselves. So this loving relationships also between devotees is also very, very important. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the deity can be installed at home or in temple, and especially those who stay close to the temple, their primary deity should be the one in the temple rather than at home, because then they can serve the temple deities. And Prabhupada has created this wonderful facility for us. But now, if you see our sampradaya, the biggest problem of Yuga Dharma is Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, and it's very difficult to implement this because our minds are disturbed. Therefore, the Lord Himself comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gives us His causeless benediction. The Lord gave benediction to Prachetas, and now Lord Chaitanya comes here to give benediction. How does He give? He advented due to His causeless mercy to revolutionize the whole concept of worship of the Lord. What did He do? If you see the disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Sankirtan. Do the Sankirtan. We were actually, Prabhupada was actually taking us to an ecstasy actually by His Kirtan just before this Bhagavatam class. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this benediction that, okay, if you can't focus on the mind, do Sankirtan. And then Acharyas then did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur took it up to another level to say, okay, how far can we hear a brother love? We can hear probably a block away. So what did he do? Then he started getting the concept of Brihat Mridanga. Publish books, give them knowledge, and then Bhakti Vinod Thakur started sending these books outside the country, and it flew to far off places, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and then Srila Prabhupada by his book distribution. So this movement is so glorious that to witness the Lord, there are so many ways. There is book distribution, there is prasadam distribution, there is deity worship, there is Harinam, there is Sankirtan, there is Japa. So like this, deity worship and then all other paraphernalia and activities that surround the deity worship. So such a beautiful facility Srila Prabhupada has created us to witness the Lord all the time. So, and to bring auspiciousness into our life. So, this is one beautiful thing that the Acharyas have given us. So, it is the onus is up to us to bring this auspiciousness into our lives from these benedictions. Actually, these are all benedictions in one sense. But Prabhupada coming here and giving us Krishna consciousness, establishing this temples around the world, installing deities whom we can beautifully worship, reading his books, partaking in the prasadam and association of devotees. These are actually benedictions. We just have to make meaning out of these benedictions. We have to value these benedictions. Only then the auspiciousness can actually prevail and can enter into our hearts. So with this, I will end my talk. Any comments or questions or corrections that we can discuss? Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Who are the clarification, like in one section of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says there are different incarnations of the Lord, Brahma, Narasimha, and devotee can focus on any one of them.
Yeah.
And then towards the 11th chapter, he says, no, only focus on Krishna.
Yeah.
So, my clarification is in regard to whether, because this is because devotional service to Krishna is the supreme most, and that's why he says, don't look at other forms, look at Krishna, is that why he says that?
Yes, there are several ways to understand this. One is because Krishna is the Ishtadevata of Srila Prabhupada, and that is our Sampradaya, Ishtadevata of the Sampradaya, because we take the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Having said that, the Nar-like form of the Lord, Sri Rama or Krishna, is more appealing to conditioned souls. When we look at Varahadev, who is a big boar, it's very difficult. One of the Sri Vaishnava Acharya says, Keshava means Varaha. Because he is seeing Keshava in Varaha, because Varaha is full of black hair. So he is seeing Keshava means Varaha. But it is very difficult to be in that consciousness, to see the forms of the Lord as one and the same. So but at the same time, if you take the mood of the Sampradaya, the Keshava, the beautiful form of the Lord, the Govinda, the Gopala form, the cowherd form of the Lord, is very, very attractive. And this is the mood of our Acharyas. So Prabhupada is actually taking us back to Goloka. So he doesn't want us to even say Vaikuntha. So he wants us all to come to Goloka. This is the mood of our Acharya. And who will not get attracted to Sri Krishna? Who will not get attracted to this little cowherd boy? So if you really see, we are all attracted to little children and kids who are playing around. So it's Krishna is naturally attracted. That is why he is called Krishna. Karsha is Krishna. Although all his forms are attractive, but Krishna is especially very attractive because he appeals to devotees very much. I think that is my understanding of it.
I just want to say
one bad something.
The deity.
Yes,
all our Islam temples, so we have that, our deities, the Son of Prabhupada. So, even in India, I go to a lot of the temples where I have beautiful deities. But when you come based on particularly the temple, the lady there, so beautifully dressed. And this is all of them, Prabhupada. He showed us how to do it. And then offered an offering. So when we see, when he's talking about installing,
and
he's trying to offer food to the lady, it's not that he has to actually eat it. Just by chanting some mantra, it's not that he's forced to eat that. It's all in our consciousness, that's what Krishna consciousness is. And the devotion to Krishna, he accepts it, not because of our devotion. So, we're talking about people like actually being in this 24, certain class of people. But I remember I'm coming to Mayapur, I saw, before that, we used to go to many temples and see deities of Durga and Kali. But when you actually came to ISKCON, they're so beautiful. And the temple so clean, like here and there. And so, the idea of deity worship is not only for us, it's a region. The people that come, they attract. Well, and even people don't have any idea about the church, they come to a congregation temple. They're not going to see the deity, they see the whole atmosphere outside. And everything is so pure and so clean. And the devotees are nice, so the whole thing is a preaching. So, we worship the deity not only for the sake of worship. deep, but also it's preaching to attract people.
Okay.
This is why I came, Hare Krishna. So, wow, I love this DVD because I saw so many. They're very simple dressing. And we have such smuggled dressing. So this is, it's not that we need to dress Krishna because, you know, sometimes people make up because, and then when they get up in the morning, they're not the same beauty. They make up to look beautiful. But Krishna is already very beautiful. He wears Vajanta Mala, that wears garland. But then the devotees love to dress them. They're already very beautiful. So he's giving us an opportunity to serve.
So, just wanted to mention. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Actually, deity worship, as you mentioned, I forgot to say that deity worship is a very advanced science. It's a very advanced science, and it is just not idol worship as such, which many common people misconstrue. It's a very advanced science. It is as important to neophyte devotees as important to advanced devotees. And that's why we see even advanced devotees still continue to do their deity worship. Because this Archa Vigraha form, it's very difficult to understand, but at the same time very simple to understand because you can easily, very quickly connect to the deities. So it's an advanced science actually. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you,
Prabhu.
Generally,
I'm
just wondering that there are many you said that when Krishna came, he changed the karma. Either my assignment was already predestined to.
Well, if you really see, many of the people in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, not that they were devotees in one sense. So they obviously will have future lifetimes to go. They have performed so many activities and bad karma. So Krishna has actually brought them all in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and finished it. So it is because of his personal reasons that he is actually liberating them. Prabhupada says they have all been liberated to their constitutional position. So from that perspective, we can understand that yes, they were not eligible for liberation, but because of the personal presence of the Lord, they get liberated. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Lord.